From the Pardes Institute of Jewish Studies, this is Pardes from Jerusalem. I'm Larry Kluger, Pardes alum. This week, Drew Ma. This week also, I'm inviting you to join Pardes for a special Shavuot retreat at Ramah Daron in Georgia. From May 18th through 22nd, you're invited to join us. It's going to be an incredible Shavuot experience. Pardes faculty will be leading the classes and Chavruta study for participants from across the world, including you, if you wish to join us. Check it out. All the details are available on pardes.org.il under Programs, and look under the North American Programs section. This will be a great retreat and your chance to study with the world-famous Pardes faculty. This week, True Ma with Yiska Smith. Yiska Smith is an adjunct faculty member of Pardes. And now, Yiska Smith.
True Ma, building a beautiful and unique home for each individual and God to dwell together. Cultivating the practice of Hitnadvut Halev, the spirit of generosity that allows for the building of one's inner spiritual home, manifesting in the revelation of the Shekhinah, the divine presence, based on a teaching from the book Netivot Shalom, as taught by Rav Shalom Noach Berezovsky, the Slonim Rebbe, also known by the name of his book, who passed away in Yerushalayim in 2000. The Netivot Shalom begins by introducing an earlier text as follows. In the book Toldot Yaakov Yosef, which was the first Hasidic book that was published in 1780, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef of Poloni, who is a disciple of the Baal Shem Tov, writes in the name of the Alshich HaKodesh, who is Rav Moshe Alshich, student of Rav Yosef Karo and teacher of Rav Chaim Vital, who passed away in Sfat in 1593, that the 613 mitzvot emanate, ne'etzalim in Hebrew, from the very essence of God. And just as the Holy One, blessed be He, is forever eternal, nitzchi, likewise the 613 mitzvot that emanate from the Holy One, blessed be He, also are forever eternal, nitzchiim. Based on this teaching, the Netivot Shalom raises a question on the mitzvah in our parsha, Parshat Truma, as stated in Shmot Chaf He Chet, Exodus 25:8. Va'asu li mikdash v'shechanti b'tocham. They shall make for me a sanctuary, and I will dwell among them, or in them. He asks, what is Netzichut? What is the eternal aspect about this mitzvah? It is not practiced throughout the generations, and not only after the destruction of the temple, but even during the period when the Holy Temple existed, it was impossible to keep fulfilling this mitzvah, as it was relevant only to the generation during the period when the temple was actually built. What, therefore, is the eternal nature of this mitzvah if its fulfillment was limited to only one generation? In answering his own question, he brings a teaching from Masechet Sanhedrin 16b, where the sages, the Chazal, explain the very next verse, in verse 9, Kechol asher ani ma'eh, otcha v'chein ta'asu. Like everything I show you, thus you shall do. So the phrase, v'chein ta'asu, thus you shall do, refers to all generations after the actual building of the sanctuary. In what sense, though? Rashi explains that if one of the objects used in the tabernacle and the Holy Temple ritual service was lost, then the command, v'chein ta'asu, thus you shall do, would apply. When? L'dorot, for all generations. Therefore, it does refer, in fact, to all generations going forward. Consequently, there is an eternal nature to the fulfillment of the mitzvah to build a sanctuary. The Netivot Shalom adds that also the interpretation in Masechet Sanhedrin refers to also the ongoing, everlasting obligation to perform the avodah, the actual forms of the ritual service in the tabernacle and the holy temple. So the original mitzvah to construct the sanctuary, the Mishkan, contains within it the obligatory rituals performed within the sanctuary. Hence, there is yet another eternal aspect to this mitzvah. However, in light of this conclusion, the Netivot Shalom raises yet another question. He reminds us that the Torah goes to great lengths when explaining the fine minutiae inherent in the building of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, altogether 5 parshiot. This quantity of parshiot is considered to be extraordinary. Being that our holy Torah is the Torat Chaim, our Torah is the Torah of life. It's the teacher of life, teaching the Jew how to walk in life. We need to understand the significance of this unusual phenomenon, especially in our period of time, when we neither have the Mishkan, the tabernacle, nor the holy temple, the Beit HaMikdash. The need to understand the Torah's spiritual teaching in this case is even greater. The Toldot Yaakov Yosef, whom the Netivot Shalom quoted earlier, explains that the mitzvah, v'asu li mikdash, they shall make for me a sanctuary, refers in fact to each person. For each person within oneself reflects a complete miniature universe, an olam katan, a microcosm of the larger world we all inhabit. Within this context, each person is commanded to make a sanctuary for God within oneself, and that within this personal sanctuary, there will be a place for the Shekhinah, the divine presence, to dwell. In fact, the Alshich HaKodesh and the Reshit Chochmah, the latter, written by the Kabbalist Eliyahu Davidus, who passed away in Hebron in 1592, teach that when God says in the verse, and I will dwell among or in them, v'shachanti b'tocham, it is not written b'tocho, in it, referring to the sanctuary. Rather, it is written b'tocham, in or among them, in each and every individual person. This clearly adds an entirely new meaning to not only the verse, but as well provides answers for the questions that the Netivot Shalom raised earlier. The Alshich HaKodesh and Reshit Chochmah continue, quote, each person contains within oneself actually 2 aspects of one's spiritual sanctuary. One is in the brain, b'moach, the powers of the intellect, and the other is in the heart, b'lev, which is the seat of the emotions. This is alluded to when the Torah states further in Parshat Pekudei, in Shmot Lamed Chet Chaf Aleph, in Exodus 38:21, when enumerating the various materials used to build the Mishkan, the tabernacle, the verse quotes as follows, Ele pekudei ha-mishkan, mishkan ha-edut. These are the accounts, the enumerations of the tabernacle of the testimony. The word mishkan, tabernacle, appears twice, alluding to the 2 aspects of the spiritual sanctuary within the individual. Hence, the mitzvah to v'asu li mikdash, make for me a sanctuary, directs the Jew to dedicate in the relationship with God and service to God both aspects of one's inner being, i.e., both one's mind and one's heart. The Netivot Shalom continues, and this is yet another way of understanding the mitzvah. They shall make for me a sanctuary, and I will dwell in or among them. V'asu li mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham. This indeed is eternal and relevant to each and every individual. Within this context, in fact, this mitzvah to make a sanctuary where God can dwell is not only eternal and relevant to each and every individual, but this mitzvah is ever constantly relevant to each specific individual at any time, in any place. In this sense, its eternal nature is a constant directive, specific to each person, being that each Jew is always asked upon to refine both one's intellectual and emotional aspects, so that they will both contribute to being a fitting sanctuary for the Shekhinah, the divine presence. For this is the purpose, he teaches, of creation, that each person, him or herself, becomes a holy sanctuary, a Beit Mikdash. And within this context, the teaching in Masechet Sanhedrin, quoted above on the verse, V'chein ta'asu, thus you shall do, meaning l'dorot, for all generations, applies for all time, literally, literally, for all generations, l'dorot. For the Shekhinah, the divine presence, may then dwell and be revealed within each and every individual person from one generation to the next. Furthermore, the Netivot Shalom directs us to one of the verses in Shirat Hayam, the song that Bnei Yisrael, the children of Israel, sung after Kriyat Yam Suf, after the splitting of the sea, when it was clear that they were finally freed from their Egyptian taskmasters who were pursuing them. The verse in Shemot Tet Vav Bet in Exodus 15:2 states, Ze Eli Va'anvehu, this is my God and I will glorify, I will exalt him. The word va'anvehu, meaning to glorify or exalt. Rashi and Ibn Ezra and the Ramban explain that the word va'anvehu, and I will glorify, exalt him, is related to the word nave, nun vav he. So within the word va'anvehu is nave, home. They rely on Uncleus's translation in the Aramaic, where he translates, this is my God, Zeke li v'anvehu, this is my God, v'avne le makdasha, and I will build for him, I will build a sanctuary for him, meaning I will build a home for God's presence. Uncleus lived from 35 to 120 CE and authored the Targum Uncleus, which is the official translation of the Torah into Aramaic. The Targum Uncleus, both as a translation and interpretation, has been deeply respected and greatly relied on by our tradition since its publication in approximately 110 CE. However, the Kutzker Rebbe and Rav Hirsch expand on this, va'anvehu, meaning I will build a home for God's presence, referring to the Beit HaMikdash, or the tabernacle, and then the Beit HaMikdash, the temple. They explain that it means I will make myself a sanctuary for him. Va'avne le makdisha, I will make me, I will make myself a sanctuary for God. Consequently, the Netivot Shalom believes that the purpose of each Jew, in fact, is to make within oneself a fitting sanctuary for God, so that Kedusha, so that holiness, manifests and dwells within the person. In essence, creating and revealing the sacred space within oneself. The Reshit Chochma quoted earlier teaches, this is exquisite, this is so inspiring, that when a person reflects on this idea, one soul will become in Hebrew, Yitlahev Nafsho Ba'ava, impassioned with love. And the person will speak to one's own heart and asks oneself, am I a human being formed and molded from dust and ashes, worthy? For the Holy One, blessed be He, whom the highest heavens surely cannot contain, wants to dwell within me? For who am I that the Supernal King comes to dwell in my home? It is only fitting, therefore, that I make for him a beautiful home for him to live with me. An earlier verse in the Parsha states, in fact, the way in which each Jew can indeed build his or her holy sanctuary. Verse 2 in chapter 25, Chaf Bet Bet, for whom the Parsha is named, reads, Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe Lemor, Daber el Bnei Yisrael, Vayikichu li Truma. Me'et kol ish, asher yedvenu libo tikichu et trumati. Speak to the children of Israel and let them take for me a truma, a donation, a portion of a contribution from every person whose heart compels or moves him, her, take my truma, my donation, my contribution. So that the truma therefore derives from each and every individual whose heart compels and moves him. Even though two of the three classifications of Trumot were obligatory, nevertheless, what this is teaching us is that God wants us to do this voluntarily from a place of generosity within the heart, where the heart compels and moves us to do this. Each person has specific matters, attributes, and personality traits in one's heart that one is particularly more passionate about than others. Mishtokek alehem biyoter. Each individual in one's own way. Being that the truma must come from the spirit of generosity, the hitnadvut halev, from the space where one's heart compels and moves one, the way to build one's own personal inner holy sanctuary is found with those very traits that one is passionate about. This is the source of the giving and the building of oneself to be a proper and fitting dwelling for the Holy One, blessed be He. The Netivot Shalom continues. Each Jew's soul descends into the world in order to heal, to fix, to complete particular areas of one's life, each one being unique. Each one of us is different this way. This is referred to as tikkun. But how do we know, though, what they are? What we need to mitaken, what we need to heal or fix or complete? So he explains the very areas of life that one is especially passionate about provide us with the answer. No two individuals have identical matters to refine. And, interestingly enough, at any one time in an individual's life, the concerns may in fact change as we move along our life journey. When a Jew in service to God directs his attention to identifying what he or she is truly passionate about, thereby encountering the very areas of one's life that require tikkun, behold, he, she builds through this practice of tikkun a personal, intimate home for God to dwell in. One's own miniature Beit HaMikdash, holy sanctuary. The Lubavitcher Rebbe points out in the book Likutei Sichot, volume 16, that the repetition of the word truma three times in verses 2 and 3 refers, in fact, not only to the three different kinds of trumot, contributions that were used to construct the physical Mishkan tabernacle, but as well to the three means by which we can offer and channel our inner resources to the building of our own personal inner holy sanctuary. This is based on the teaching in Pirkei Avot, chapter 1, the second Mishnah. Quote, Shimon the righteous one would say, the world stands upon three things, ala Torah, ala Avodah, va'agimidut chasidim, on the Torah, on the service, and on acts of kindness. The Lubavitcher Rebbe draws a strong parallel between these three pillars that sustain the existence of the world and the three forms of spiritual truma. The way we go about building our inner holy sanctuary in the areas of our own life that we are passionate about, that we're doing tikkun about for, each one of us in our own unique, authentic way, is by how we each go about learning Torah, how we each go about speaking with God in both private and communal prayer, and how we infuse kindness, respect, and compassion into the world as we go about observing the mitzvot. How each one of us thinks, speaks, and behaves within these three realms of human activity profoundly affects the integrity of the inner holy sanctuary that one builds. To do this, one needs to cultivate the practice of hitnadvut halev, the spirit of generosity within one's heart, from the space of abundance. There, in the heart, one finds the inner means to contribute towards building one's spiritual home where one can dwell together with God. And there, in that space of spiritual living, as Heschel articulates, one, quote, faces sacred moments. And there, one encounters the divine. Shabbat shalom u'mevorach.
Thank you, Yiska. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode of Pardes from Jerusalem.